In a few minutes, we'll update jittery stock markets. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Good morning to you. First, extra fees for nearly everything are a central part of flying for most of us these days. I just booked a flight with an airline that charges a buck for a little water. But starting in March, United Airlines won't charge extra for passengers who want their under 12 kids to sit next to them. This comes as the Biden administration works on rules to rein in some of these fees. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab reports.
In the past few decades, the average airfare has actually gone down by more than $180 if you adjust for inflation. But airfare doesn't technically include all of the fees for luggage, seat assignments, and priority boarding. Robert Mann, an airline industry analyst, says those extras started to pop up in the 90s at the same time as the web.
Suddenly, airlines had an option. They could build their own websites, they could sell directly via those websites, and they could sell certain things that they previously could not sell.
Unbundling is what the industry calls it. It started as a marketing method for low-cost carriers like Ryanair in Europe and Spirit Airlines in the U.S. The rest of the industry started following suit in 2008 when fuel prices broke records. Because the more weight a plane carries, the more fuel it needs.
So airlines attempted to get people essentially to leave stuff at home. Their motivation and their lever to do that was to charge you $50 to charge a bag. And from that point, it was kind of open season on fees, at least at big airlines.
Mann says today, U.S. carriers make around $30 billion a year in fees, and they prefer them to upping ticket prices because fees are not subject to federal taxes. Henry Hartfelt is a travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group.
So it's an accounting play.
Also now a marketing play, because add-ons have become a way for airlines to get people to enroll in loyalty programs and credit cards. And it turns out most customers prefer fees. They feel like they get more value and have more choice. But Jay Sorensen, president of airline consulting firm IdeaWorks Company, says fees have become so common that some airlines are getting rid of a few to stand out.
The distinction between low-cost carriers and global network airlines has become less defined. And I think the airline industry made a mistake by allowing it to get to this level.
Sorensen thinks more airlines will start dropping fees that stress people out, like charging families for seat assignments. But he doubts those lucrative baggage add-ons are going anywhere soon. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
And there was a piece in Forbes at the end of last year about how to grab mistake fares for airline tickets in rare cases where the software pops out a weirdly low price. Now the online site The Points Guy has noticed United has put in some new fine print saying they can reverse ticket charges when they're near zero, but that the airline would reimburse passengers for reasonable costs for those who had to change other plans when their cheapo airline ticket gets canceled. Markets started the year generally optimistic, then yesterday happened. The Dow wiped out its gains for the year. All major indexes fell between 2 and 2.5% yesterday. Paradoxically, you can blame good news about the economy. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
We're in a good news is bad news environment. Indicators that the economy and the labor market are resilient fuel worries over how much more the Federal Reserve will have to raise interest rates to cool inflation. The more interest rates go up and the longer they stay up, the better the chance of a recession. And so yesterday, markets got another bout of unwelcome good news. S&P Global's Purchasing Managers Index, a bellwether of economic activity, showed an unexpected uptick for this month, with a return to growth in the services sector. That suggests signs of economic slowdown last month may have been short-lived. And so investors sold stocks in anticipation of higher interest rates, which could either ding company earnings, slow the economy too much, make bonds more attractive, or all of the above. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. This morning, stock index futures are hinting at a still lower opening on Wall Street in about 2.5 hours. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down about 0.2%. Crude oil is down 1.1%, $75.50 a barrel. The 10-year interest rate pretty steady, 3.94%. And Starbucks is trying to persuade Italians that olive oil and coffee mix. They're swizzling it into foam in Italy, unlike the cappuccino or espresso. This doesn't seem to be a case of cultural appropriation by a multinational corporation, as olive oil coffee doesn't seem to have been an existing thing in Italy, in my experience. We'll see how this goes. The Oleato line could come to California later this year. Should tech platforms like YouTube and TikTok be immune from lawsuits if the algorithms they use promote harmful content? That's one of the questions the U.S. Supreme Court considered in oral arguments in a case involving Google, YouTube's parent company, yesterday. Marketplace's Matt Levin has an update.
Section 230 is the part of the 1996 Communications Decency Act that says you can't sue an internet company for something someone else posted on their website. If the Supreme Court says Section 230 does not protect recommendation algorithms, you might see YouTube change one thing pretty quickly.
Autoplay.
Nick Seaver is an anthropologist of technology at Tufts University.
So the way that something like YouTube will play a video immediately following, and that's clearly more of an active push.
It's not just the autoplay rabbit hole and its related ad revenue that's at stake. The Supreme Court ruling could impact everything from Yelp reviews to Microsoft Outlook's spam folder. Tech companies say these algorithms are necessary to help users find the content they want. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
And who among us does not need to brush up on some basic economics? Well, one know-it-all just said, not me. But for the rest of us, consider signing up for our Marketplace Crash Course, a kind of Econ 101 in newsletter form. It's free, and you can learn at your own pace, marketplace.org/crashcourse. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.